and I rule.
One of the most popular shows posted on radio.indymedia.org is produced by a community radio station volunteer in Canada.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto.
Bad Cop, No Donut doesn't have a set length. It can run from 20 minutes to an hour and 20 minutes, as long as its creator, Ron Anisich, thinks it needs to be. Anisich says the show grew out of a segment on his regular weekly call-in show.
I've been doing a show at CKLN for about 15 years, and there was a segment called Bad Cop, No Donut that we started doing about, 5 years ago, or maybe a little longer even. It essentially consisted of me coming across things occasionally and ranting, a couple stories a week, and then ranting on about them for an hour, and people would call. It was a live segment. And I guess at some point, last summer, I guess, I got the idea that I wanted to really focus that part of the show. Here in Toronto, we have some serious issues with our police department right now. And the more I read about it, the more I saw connections to things that were happening in other places. So the idea became to connect all of these different incidents of police brutality and misconduct. Police abuse, generally, is the word I use to describe it, from across North America in as thorough a way as possible for two reasons. One, to document the incredible amount of stuff that goes on every week. And the second part would be to make connections between things that happen in different places. For instance, every year our chief of police in Toronto does this dance in front of the media where he talks about how bad crime is, despite the fact that crime rates have been going down for the last 20 consecutive years, in order to increase the police budget. I've read subsequently to learning that about police chiefs all over North America who do this exact same thing. This is one of many examples.
Tasers. But first, let's have a look at what the police did to us this week. A man is dead after a confrontation with Toronto police officers. According to a City TV report, the man was pronounced dead at a nearby hospital after police were called in to deal with a man running after streetcars and yelling. No other details are available. A police officer in Montreal, Quebec, who is on trial this week for shoplifting, is having some difficulty explaining his actions. According to a Canadian press article, Officer Guy Marlowe stole $200 worth of diapers, steaks, and Coca-Cola from a supermarket in April 2002. The officer claimed he was just trying to show the store manager how easy it was to steal from the store. According to testimony, police in Columbus, Georgia, killed a man this week, apparently by shooting him with supposedly non-lethal beanbag projectiles. According to the Associated Press, the man died in hospital 2 days after the incident when he was shot with two of the beanbag bullets. He was.
You must spend a lot of time doing research, getting all these articles together. Where do you look?
There's a number of ways I get stuff for the show. People do send me stuff. I do look. I search news-related websites for stories about police misconduct or police abuse. It's not that hard. There's certainly a lot of stuff out there. I suspect that there's a lot of stuff that I don't find out about. Frequently, I'm sent things by listeners that I wasn't able to find on my own. You know, keyword searches are only so effective.
Mm-hmm. What's the range of crimes that you find that or misconduct that police are involved in?
Boy, you know, it seems to be ever expanding. It really depends on more on them than me. I generally try to stick to cases where laws are broken or where there's an obvious question of conduct, like you know, excessive use of force.
Do any particular crimes come to mind that seem to be astonishing that police are involved in?
Well, yeah, lots. I'm astonished every week. There seems to be, there are a lot of crimes that the police commit that do not get reported. And they are crimes that certain studies have indicated are massive problems within policing. One I can think of off the top of my head is domestic abuse.
A police officer in Rodell, West Virginia, has been arrested on charges of domestic battery and brandishing a weapon. The Associated Press says that Officer Daniel Ray Price has already been released on a $100,000 bond.
There are two North American studies that say that approximately 40% of police officers are domestic abusers. That's, to me, an incredible number. But the research seems sound, so... clearly, domestic abuse is rampant. I've been alarmed in the past couple months about how many police officers have sexually violated children. It seems like every week I can come up with a couple stories. You know, whether it's child pornography or direct sexual abuse in some cases. Like, to me, that's horrible.
Former Newbury, Massachusetts police officer has been found guilty of raping a young girl and has been sentenced to between 7 and 9 years in jail. A report from WCVB says that Officer Gary Clifford was found guilty by a jury on two counts of rape of a child.
There's a guy in Isle of Wight, Virginia, this week who sexually assaulted a 10-year-old girl, and I think that the people who live there are probably thinking they have the only cop in America who does something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. I mean, I think every week for the past month or so I've been able to come up with at least two stories that are very similar to that.
Whenever you see bad cops on TV, they're usually involved in drugs, and that's usually the only thing you see.
Yeah, cops do definitely deal drugs, steal drugs from evidence loggers. It seems to me that where there's an ability for the police to commit a crime or where an opportunity exists, it's usually exploited. And oddly enough, I'm reading this book called Our Enemies in Blue by Christian Williams. And this person... documents these kinds of abuses going back to the dawn of modern policing, basically making a strong case that where there have been opportunities for authority, police authority specifically, to be abused, it has been.
This is not the way we do business in Kansas City. If people have issues with this police department, they should step up and step up strongly.
Last week, a police officer in Kansas City, Missouri, was charged with stealing money from a motorist after a sting was set up to catch him in the act. An Associated Press account of the story says that Officer Mershon Pope was arrested last week and charged with misconduct in administration of office. Last week, Pope was left alone with an undercover officer who was posing as a Latino driver with a poor command of the English language. The sting revealed that the officer stole money from inside the victim's car and inside the man's wallet. The car and wallet contained marked bills that were later recovered at the officer's home. Pope was suspended.
You find cops, dealing drugs and selling drugs and stealing drugs and money, and they do pretty much what they can do.
Now, you have a separate segment of your program that's just about taser incidents.
Next up, a review of this week's Taser News.
It was the worst experience I have ever had in my life. I don't want to see anybody ever go through anything like that.
He's my friend, and seeing him there, like, on the ground screaming like that, just...
I don't remember anything. No. I just have dreams about it every now and then.
I couldn't understand why they were treating him this way, because he hadn't been drinking, hadn't been doing anything, and he wasn't hurting anybody.
Obviously, it raises a question of lack of training. It raises a bigger question of lack of judgment.
And then all these copper wires that were coming off his back, I had no clue what they were.
The wife of a man who died after being shot with a taser twice by police in Washington in February 2004 has filed a claim against Kitsap County, accusing them of improper use of a taser.
It started off with, I guess I just kind of noticed that there a lot of allegations of brutality were the result of questionable use of these tasers. And I didn't report them all together at first. I didn't really make a connection. But the more I guess eventually there were so many of them that I started kind of grouping them together. And lately there's been all kinds of, there have been all kinds of activists and scientists and even police agencies that are calling tasers into question. I think it's important to be dealing with that. A lot of the stories I realize aren't really directly related to the, you know, police abuse on the show. So I've actually questioned why I've been doing this as well. But I mean, it's valid from the point of view of these things kill people, and people have to know about it.
A coroner in San Mateo County, California, has determined that a stun gun was a factor in the death of a man in Pacifica in January. The victim died in hospital hours after being shot by police with a stun gun. Police in Putnam County, Florida, used tasers on high school students twice this week to break up fights. A police officer in Berwyn, Illinois, used a stun gun on a 17-year-old high school student at school this week. The stun gun was used after the police officer and a school security guard had difficulty forcing the student into the principal's office. After being shot with the taser, the student suffered a seizure and was taken to hospital in an ambulance. A police officer in Newark, New Jersey, used a taser on a 15-year-old who had been involved in a schoolyard fight this week. The student was arrested and charged with assaulting a police officer. A test run of 14 tasers by the Milwaukee Police Department has ended with the decision to shelve the weapons until data gathered about their usefulness can be evaluated. During the one-year pilot project, 52 Milwaukee police officers used tasers 262 times. A man in Indianapolis, Indiana, died last Thursday after being shot with a police taser. A man in Lake City, Florida, died last Friday after being shot by a police taser. Two state senators in Florida are calling for a statewide ban on taser use until their effects can be studied thoroughly. They point to 18 Florida deaths of people who had been shocked by one of the devices.
There are many police departments and representatives of Taser International, the company that makes the weapons, that are going around saying that they don't kill people, they don't cause heart attacks, and the science behind this is faulty or questionable at best, depending on who you ask. So I guess the segment has evolved as the knowledge of what these weapons are all about has grown.
Mm-hmm. You had the fellow on your last program, James Ruggieri.
Yeah.
He's an engineer.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an engineer. He's done a lot of research, actually, and he gave a pretty important presentation last month. To an academy, I think it was the American Academy of Forensic Science, and part of the problem with tasers is that coroners have been unwilling to say that tasers have been the a cause of death or even a contributing factor because of some pretty poor research and widely held fallacies. According to Mr. Ruggieri, at least. His work is important, I think, primarily for that reason. He's enlightening people who make these determinations. And if the people who are now the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States is looking at Taser right now, and a branch of the Arizona government for making false claims about their products, specifically that they don't cause deaths. When coroners start saying, as they did in California last week, that that tasers are in fact a contributing cause in people's deaths, then it kind of blows tasers' claims out of the water. Well, not kind of, it does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it shows very clearly that the company is lying in its advertising material. It's making false representations about its products. And Mr. Ruggieri also points out that there are 25 lawsuits in the United States against Taser International right now alleging precisely this, among mm-hmm. other things.
Have you ever been able to interview anybody at Taser?
I wrote somebody a letter. I emailed somebody from the company the other day, a guy named Tuttle, which is, have you seen Brazil? Anyway, they never got back to me. I'm sure they have bigger problems to deal with, bigger fires to put out than some, community radio guy from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, our police services board a couple weeks ago approved the purchase of new tasers for the Toronto police. So I guess they don't see me doing any damage. So what? I'm assuming that's their thinking. I don't know.
This is hate mongering.
Ryerson University has come under pressure from the city's police chief to ban a program on its campus radio station that airs negative stories about the cops.
In quotes, the police chief there in Toronto, Julian Fantino, "I am disgusted that this kind of hate mongering would be directed at our police officers." So the chief wants something done.
And you've come under fire recently for your program by the Toronto police.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
Well, I'm not really sure what happened. What I do know is that the former chief of police, on his last week on the job, decided that in front of a TV crew, he was going to call me a hate mongerer. I guess he thinks the police are one of the groups that are protected under the charter. You know, hate crimes are something that we take really seriously, especially at CKLN. Most of the communities that we represent or that are represented at CKLN are often the victims of the exact type of hate that the police chief is accusing us of being mongerers of. Well, anyway, I checked the Human Rights Code and the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, the two pertinent documents when it comes to hate, and it turns out that the police aren't on it anywhere. Not a surprise. And the Charter of Rights spells it out very clearly. You cannot discriminate on the basis of race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, et cetera, et cetera. Occupation isn't even on the list, and it shouldn't be. So I guess at the end of the day, the chief just did me this huge favor. I can't see it any other way. I got to occasionally talk about police abuse issues with a much larger number of people than I had been up till that point.
You were in the mainstream media.
Oh yeah, for it's actually, this was a month ago, and it's continued right up. It's still going on.
The show is called Bad Cop No Donut. Program called Bad Cop No Donut, which Chief Fantino has pressured Ryerson to ban.
Bad Cop No Donut.
He considered their programming hate mongering, particularly the show Bad Cop No Donut.
Radio program on CKLN that caught the attention of Chief Fantino in not a positive way.
Just a litany of anti-cop stories gleaned from papers and press reports across North America.
A Canadian talk show host, the police want to see silenced.
Is he peddling hate or just a misguided radio host?
Why don't you tell us what the email address is?
ihatepigs@hotmail.com.
ihatepigs.com.
I mean, you've given up the email address, but it was ihatepigs.com.
ihatepigs@hotmail.com.
This is a cop-hating audience, or they wouldn't respond to an email address like that. But why not mix the I hate pigs stories with the this is the way in which I was served and protected?
That's pretty one-sided then, wouldn't you say?
Obviously, you're not there to praise the work of the police departments around North America.
They were accusing you of being unfair, that it wasn't a balanced show because you weren't showing the good things that cops do. What's your response to that?
My response to that is, I assume that they're writing the New York Times about the number of living people that aren't found on their obituaries page. Look, the show is about police abuse. just like the obituaries are about dead people. You don't write to the editor of the obituaries page and tell him that he's not being fair and balanced because he's not writing about people that are alive. I think that argument holds no water whatsoever. Also, the police are treated generally fairly and positively by the mainstream media. And I, as I mentioned earlier, work at a place where we are giving a voice to views and people that are not heard in the mainstream. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would suggest that many of the same people who are calling me unfair and unbalanced are exactly that themselves. The attention that's been directed at my show by the media has been... I have a lot of mixed feelings about the whole... about what's happened. I was very happy up until that point. Like I wasn't going out and looking for publicity for the show. I just wanted to do my show, you know.
Well, has it changed what you put on your show?
I attribute stories a little better than I was before because I want to really drive home the point that I'm not one, not making this stuff up, and two, that I'm not doing anything, that I'm not telling anyone anything that hasn't already been reported. And I also changed the email address for the show. I had a kind of a flippant email address that I really hadn't given any thought to whatsoever before, but was actually quite offensive to people, it turned out. So I changed that.
The new email address for Ron Anisich, host of Bad Cop, No Donut, is ron@ckln.fm. From the Trenches was produced by Chicago's Independent Media Center with help from Loyola University. You can post your own stories, listen to this program again, or find news and information from Chicago or around the world through our internet address. The address is www.chicago.indymedia.org. Many thanks to WLUW for their continued support. Listen again on the fourth Monday in May for another report from the Trenches.